Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Thursday class, May 15, 2025, 2 John.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God this evening to 2 John. 2 John. And in preparation to worship our Lord, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, for the privilege we have this evening of fellowshipping with you through the study of your word. And as we do so, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. We have the update on the Las Ventanas Senior Living Center. The Las Ventanas Heaven Special Lesson on Wednesday, May 14th, went very well. We had a smaller than normal turnout as we played the first half of lesson number 11 in the series. Dina Blair was also well enough to join and help. In this lesson, Pastor Olson continued teaching from 2 Corinthians 5, verses 6 through 9, where he described how God manufactures our temporary house, what is that? Your human body, in the womb, where there is biological life in the womb. And physical birth, that's when God creates human life, the real you, by placing our soul in our temporary house. He also taught physical death is when God removes the believer from their temporary house, your human body, by removing the soul and spirit from the body and placing them in a permanent house. After the lesson, Donna requested clarification on Pastor Olson's teaching about when life begins. I reinforced that although there is biological life in the womb, neshama, human life begins when God creates soul life at physical birth. To God be the glory as he continues to bless the ministry at Las Ventanas. And as always, your prayers are greatly appreciated. Rich Blair. And remind you one more time, you are all invited to the memorial service this Saturday, May 17th at 10 a.m. for Randy Frick. It starts right at 10. I recommend that you get here early. That's hard for a lot of you. I realize that. Get here early. And there will be about a half an hour of pre-service music. And a lot of you have never even realized we have pre-service music before every class. Well, there will be pre-service music before the memorial service. And it's going to be a very wonderful. I love doing memorial services for those members of the royal family of God who have lived the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. They have grown up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. They love the Lord their God with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. These are the best of the best. And that certainly is Randy. And I am looking so forward to conducting this memorial service for him. So that's this Saturday, May 17th, 10 a.m. All right, we are in a special paragraph in 2 John. We're in verses 7 through 11. And in this paragraph, the Apostle John is warning all of you, every one of you, concerning false teachers. We've exegeted verse 7 and just a couple of words in verse 8. Verse 7 sounds like this, because many deceivers, these are false teachers, have gone out into the world. The ones who do not acknowledge and who do not teach Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh. They have rejected the incarnation and virgin birth of the eternal Son of God. This one is the deceiver and an antichrist against Jesus Christ. And then in verse 8, we only took a look at two words. Watch out. Beware. For yourself. Watch out for yourself. Now, the Apostle John had a lot of false teachers in his day, and they were known as Gnostics. They taught the false doctrines related to Gnosticism. But there are false teachers in every generation, and right now in the world today, the world is full of false teachers and deceivers. These false teachers and deceivers, they are against Christ. And they have a phony, hypocritical facade. Jesus Christ said they're really wolves in sheep's clothing, Matthew 7:15. They try to stimulate you and influence you with smooth and flattering speech. Romans 16:17-18. They use human PR systems, public relations systems, and legalistic flirtation and activism to court believers. Galatians 4:16-17, 2 Timothy 3:1-5. They reject the absolute truth of the God-breathed scriptures. They teach, but they don't know what they are even talking about. 1 Timothy 1:6-7. They are oftentimes very eloquent, influential speakers. 1 John 4, 1-3. However, they do not function by the power of God the Holy Spirit. Rather, they are influenced by demons. And what they teach, 1 Timothy 4:1, they teach doctrines of demons. And that's what we have in the world today, and unfortunately in much of America today. And then in verse 8, two words. The present active imperative of blepo plus the accusative plural of the reflexive pronoun heautu. That verb blepo, used in a very special way in 2 John verse 8. It's used as a warning. And when blepo is used as a warning, it has a special translation. It means watch out. It means beware. Watch out. Beware. When it comes to false teachers and antichrists, you should be on red alert. The present tense has linear action start. Keep on being on red alert for false teachers, for antichrists. The active voice, the believer living the spiritual life, by the grace and the power of God, performs the action of the verb. And the imperative mood, this is a command to each one of us, to all of you. This is a command, a mandate. And then we have the reflexive pronoun heautu, which is yourself. Watch out for yourself. That's all we exegeted last week. The imperative mood of blepo combined with the reflexive pronoun heautu presents a very strong warning to each one of us, to every member of the royal family of God. And this warning constitutes a mandate to the believers' volition. Every believer must take the responsibility for his own decisions. This says, watch out for yourselves. You will never be distracted away from living the spiritual life apart from your own volition making bad decisions. When you fail to heed this warning, you wind up grieving the Holy Spirit, Ephesians 4:30, or quenching the Holy Spirit, 1 Thessalonians 5:19 and 20, or both. You have to make the good decision to choose for God, but you have a free will. You're free to choose for God or choose for anything else and everything else. You're the one that has to make the good decisions to choose for God and the absolute truth of the Word of God. You have to be alert. You have to watch out for false teachers and false doctrine and antichrist believers. You must maintain vigilance and guard against being distracted away from the unique spiritual life that God has so graciously and given to each one of us. And who distracts you away? False teachers. By people who are communicating Satan's cosmic thinking. Spiritual momentum demands making good decisions to live the unique spiritual life God has given to us for the church age by the spiritual skills. Spiritual momentum demands positive volition on your part. Humility in contrast to arrogance. The filling of the Spirit instead of grieving and quenching the Spirit. The teaching ministry of the Spirit so that you can grow up in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and fulfill the ultimate objective and have virtue love brought to completion in our hearts. Preoccupation with self, disillusionment with loved ones, personality conflicts with friends, your boss, the people at work, your pastor, distractions from false teachers and antichrist believers. None of those things are an excuse for bad decisions on your part to lose your spiritual momentum. Satan's cosmic system is made up of interlocking systems of arrogance and interlocking systems of hatred. When you have preoccupation with self, you are living in Satan's cosmic system, interlocking systems of arrogance. When you have antagonism toward God or the Word of God, you are living in cosmic two, interlocking systems of hatred. And when you live in the cosmic system long enough, you do this all by yourself. You make yourself the enemy of the cross, Philippians 3:18, the enemy of God, James 4:4, and church age antichrist, 1 John 2:18, and our verse, 2 John verse 7 and verse 8. Therefore, the pastor teacher, the faithful, sound pastor teacher, has been commanded by the Lord to brace these believers with tough virtue love and a grace mental attitude so that they might come to their senses and escape from the trap of the devil. That trap of the devil is his cosmic system, who has taken them captive to do his will. 2 Timothy 2:25 and 26. So again, so far, because many deceivers, many false teachers have gone out into the world, the ones who do not acknowledge and do not teach Jesus Christ is coming in the flesh, the incarnation and virgin birth of the eternal Son of God. This one is the deceiver and the antichrist. Verse 8, beware, watch out for yourselves. And that's as far as we got last week. Now verse 8 then goes on. What are we supposed to beware and watch out for? That we lose not those things which we have wrought. This is hina plus the aorist active subjunctive of apolumi with the negative me, plus the accusative plural neuter of the relative pronoun hosts, plus the aorist middle indicative of the verb ergazomai. So we start out with hina plus the subjunctive. Hina, H-I-N-A, plus the subjunctive, introduces a purpose clause, and it's correctly translated, in order that, or for the purpose that. And then we have the verb apolumi. That's A-P-O-L-L-U-M-I, Apollumi. Now, a couple of things on this verb, apollumi. Literally, it means to ruin or to destroy. That's literally. Point two, then apollumi came to mean to lose or to lose out. To lose or to lose out. And then point three, when you have with this the negative, which we do, the negative may, not your mule may, but this is may, M long E. When you have the negative may with apollumi, point three, John is warning these believers, warning all of you as royal family of God, that you don't lose. And what are you not to lose? Then we have the accusative plural neuter of the relative pronoun hos, that you don't lose. And in the plural, the relative pronoun hos means those things, that you don't lose those things. So with point three, with the negative may, John is warning the royal family of God, make sure you don't lose those things. Now, what are those things? God, you, thank you. Thank you for asking. Point four. Those things refers first to spiritual momentum, that you don't lose your spiritual momentum. Secondly, it means that you don't lose your spiritual life, that you're living in Satan's cosmic system. But specifically in our context, those things refers to the greater grace blessings that God has for the winner believer. Those greater grace blessings that God has for the winner believer. Greater grace blessings to give to you in time, and in the short time that we're here, and greater grace blessings given to the winner believer at the judgment seat of Christ. Crowns and rewards that will glorify God for all eternity. And then we have the verb ergazomai. E-R-G-A-Z-O-M-A-I, ergazomai. Now, as an intransitive verb, ergazomai means to work or to be active. We don't have the intransitive use of ergazomai. As a transitive verb, that's what we have. It means to do, to accomplish, to carry out. So as our translation says, watch out, beware for yourself, in order that you do not lose out on those things that you have accomplished. Watch out for yourself, beware for yourself, in order that you do not lose out on those things that you have accomplished. And then he adds, but that we receive a full reward. We have the conjunction Allah plus the aorist active subjunctive of apolambano plus the accusative singular of pleires with the accusative singular of misthos. Pleires misthos. All right, we start out with Allah. A-L-L-A, Allah. And Allah is, you've heard it many times, the strongest conjunction of contrast in the Greek, correctly translated, but. And Allah sets up a contrast between, one, losing out on your greater grace blessings in time, with receiving your greater grace blessings in time. So first of all, the contrasting losing out on your greater grace blessings in time with receiving your greater grace blessings in time. And then secondly, losing out on crowns and rewards at the judgment seat of Christ with receiving your crowns and rewards at the judgment seat of Christ. And then we have the verb apolambano. Apolambano, A-P-O-L-A-M-B-A-N, long O, apolambano. All right. One, the verb apolambano is a compound word made up of the preposition apa, there you have it, apa, plus the verb lambano. Now, the verb lambano means to take in your hand, to take something in your hand, to receive something. The preposition apa means from and serves to intensify the verb lambano. Therefore, point two, apolambano is putting the spotlight on how great and how magnificent these greater grace blessings for time and eternity really are. That's what apolambano does. It's putting the spotlight on how great and how magnificent these greater grace blessings for time and eternity really are. The aorist tense is a constative aorist, viewing the receiving of these greater grace blessings in both time and eternity in their entirety. The active voice, the winner believer, who is on red alert for false teachers and antichrists, and who lives the spiritual life by the grace and power of God, he performs the action of the verb. And the subjunctive mood goes along with hina to introduce this purpose clause. Point three. Apolambano puts the spotlight on pleres misthos. You see, I know you caught that mistake. That you put the wrong sigma there. It's the final sigma. Pleres misthos. Pleres misthos. So, apolambano putting the spotlight on pleres misthos. Now, what is pleres misthos? Well, I'm glad you asked. Pleres means full, complete. Pleres is a sum that is totally complete. In other words, you're not missing out on anything. That's pleres. It's a sum that's totally complete. And that means you're not missing out on anything. And then misthos. And misthos literally means pay or wages, but it's not used that way here. Here, it's used figuratively. And figuratively, misthos means reward. Reward. Misthos is used for the crowns and rewards that are given to the winner believer at the judgment seat of Christ. That's misthos. Figuratively, it means reward, and misthos is used for the crowns and rewards that are given to the winner believer at the judgment seat of Christ. And this has been taught by the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 3. Turn over there. We've seen this passage in different classes. Kind of fun how all these different books, it all dovetails together, communicating the same truth. So turn over to 1 Corinthians 3. 1 Corinthians 3. Now the Apostle Paul is teaching the very same thing that the Apostle John is teaching. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 11, "For no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. If any man builds on this foundation using gold, silver, and precious stones," what is that? That's the production of the winner believer. That's the result of living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. It's the result. And that result is maximum divine good production. That's the result of being filled with the Spirit. That's the result of advancing to spiritual maturity. The result is maximum divine good production. Gold, silver, and precious stones. Then we have wood, hay, and straw. That's the result of living out of fellowship with God. And what is wood, hay, and straw? Human good, dead works. Human good, dead. The result of living out of fellowship with God. Oh, you still going to church, you still do a lot of things. It's all by the energy of the flesh. It's not the result of the filling of the Spirit. It's not the result of metabolized doctrine in the heart. It's not the result of attaining spiritual maturity. This is human good dead works from the energy of the flesh. You have no spiritual life. Oh, but you're still religious. You go to church. You say all the right words. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord and all those things. But you are out of fellowship and all of your production. It isn't divine good. It's human good dead works. It's wood, hay, and straw. His work will be shown for what it is, because the day, and the day is the judgment seat of Christ, the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire. And the fire will test the quality of each man's production, each man's work. If what he has built survives divine good production, the result of being a winner believer, the result of attaining spiritual maturity, having virtue, love brought to completion in your heart, divine good production, it will survive the fire. Gold, fire doesn't affect gold, silver, or precious stones. They survive. He will receive his misthos. There's our word. There's the same word we have in 2 John. He will receive his misthos, his reward. However, if it's burned up, human good dead works of wood, hay, and straw, he will suffer loss. No reward, no misthos. He loses out. No crowns and rewards at the judgment seat of Christ. He himself will be saved, because you cannot lose your salvation. You have eternal security. But the loser believer, you're saved all right, but only as one escaping through the flames. You know, your resurrection body will be singed, a lot of soot on your face, your clothes will be singed, everything. You made it. You're in heaven. And you're not upset. You're tickled pink that you're there. Yay! I'm going to live with in heaven forever, and he's not going to be miserable. There's no such thing as being in heaven and being miserable. You're in heaven, you're happy. Now, there's different categories of happiness, but everybody's going to be happy. Is everybody happy? Yes. In heaven, everyone will be happy. So, misthos is used for the crowns and rewards that are given to the winner believer at the judgment seat of Christ. Watch out! Beware for yourselves in order that you do not lose out on those things that you have accomplished, but that you may receive a full reward. All right. I love this. This is one of the most powerful passages on the judgment seat of Christ. And hey, we all as royal family need to pay attention to this warning. There will be so many people at the judgment seat of Christ, and they're going to be like the one, well, you're there all right, but you're as going through the fire. So one, no statement in the scriptures makes clearer the relationship between maintaining the grace and truth of the God-breathed scriptures and receiving eternal reward at the judgment seat of Christ. No statement in the scriptures makes clearer the relationship between maintaining grace and truth of the God-breathed scriptures and receiving eternal reward at the judgment seat of Christ. Two, that phrase, watch out for yourselves, beware for yourselves, that is a very intense warning of a very grave danger. This is a very grave danger. You need to wake up. So that phrase, watch out for yourselves, beware for yourself, is a very intense warning of a very grave danger. Three, that very grave danger is false teaching and false doctrine from false teachers and antichrists, which results in losing out on the full reward in time and at the judgment seat of Christ. That very grave danger is false teaching and false doctrine from false teachers and antichrists, which results in losing out on the full reward, the pleroes misthos, the full reward in time, greater grace blessings in time, and the full reward at the judgment seat of Christ, greater grace blessings for all eternity. Four, therefore, you, each one of you, each one of you, royal family of God, you must watch out and beware for the disastrous spiritual effects which any compromise of the grace and truth of the Word of God could lead. Do not allow yourself to be compromised, to compromise God's grace, to compromise God's truth. So every one of you as royal family of God must beware, watch out for the disastrous spiritual effects which any compromise with the grace and truth of the Word of God could lead. Five. The danger is not the loss of salvation. That's impossible. You have eternal security. And I love the way Paul described it in 1 Corinthians 3. This just if it is burned up, he will suffer a loss. You're going to lose out on the misthos, the crowns and rewards. But he himself will be saved. You can't lose your salvation. You'll be saved. But only as one escaping through the flame. We're going to see a lot of that at the judgment seat of Christ. There are going to be a lot of believers there. Whoa, boy, what happened to you? I made it. I'm here, yay. But I had to go through the flame, escape through the flames. So the danger is not the loss of salvation. That's impossible. You have eternal security. But it is the loss of misthos, the loss of play race misthos, full reward. Six, loss of greater grace blessings for time and loss of greater grace blessings for eternity. Here the spotlight's on the loss of greater grace blessing for eternity at the judgment seat of Christ. Seven, the false teachers and the Antichrist are a dangerous threat to each one of us as royal family to keep us from fulfilling God's plan, will, and purpose for our life. The false teachers and the Antichrist are a dangerous threat to each one of us as believers, to keeping us from fulfilling God's plan, will, and purpose for our life. So, 2 John 7 and 8 then, now sounds like this. Because many deceivers, false teachers, have gone out into the world, the ones who do not acknowledge, and the ones he has talking about specifically at this time are Gnostics and Gnosticism, but false teachers cover a huge gamut of things. The ones who do not acknowledge, do not teach Jesus Christ is coming in the flesh because they rejected the incarnation and virgin birth of the eternal Son of God. This one is the deceiver and the Antichrist. Watch out, beware for yourselves in order that you do not lose out on those things you have accomplished, but that you may receive a full reward. And I hope that's true for every single one of you. There's no reason why it won't be. It should be. Full, true of every single one of you. And I'll be there too. And I get to be there with the congregation. And I don't want to see any of you coming through just surviving, going through the flames. I want to see you all there. How great is this going to be? None of us have seen Jesus Christ face to face. We haven't seen him here while we're living here in time. And the rapture take place. Let's say we don't, you're going to all survive until, you're not going to die physical death. You're going, the rapture just going to be in the next few seconds. Well, then you get to stand before Jesus Christ and see him for the first time, face to face at the judgment seat of Christ. And as winter believers, I expect you to stand there with all the poise Because you love Jesus Christ. You love Him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And He knows that. And He'll say to you, well done, good and faithful servant. And you stand there, and He will pour out these fantastic maestas, crowns and rewards, greater grace blessings that will glorify God for all eternity. And it will be the great, great moment for each one of you at that time. You won't have any shame. The loser believer will have shame, but the winner believer has no shame at the judgment seat of Christ. Now that brings us to a study of what God has to say about the judgment seat of Christ. And point one is definition, description, and application. Definition, description, and application. First of all, one, the judgment seat of Christ is a technical theological term used to designate the evaluation of the royal family of God at the end of the church age, after the rapture, after the resurrection of the church, the royal family of God. And it has a specific term in the Bible, bema. B-long-E-M-A, the bema seat. The bema seat, that's the judgment seat of Christ. That in the Word of God. So the judgment seat of Christ, the bema seat, is a technical theological term used to designate the evaluation of the royal family of God. We will all be evaluated. Every one of us. And you should be looking forward to that, excited about that, to be evaluated by Jesus Christ. The judgment seat of Christ is a technical theological term used to designate the evaluation of the royal family of God at the end of the church age, following the rapture, following the resurrection of the church. Two, the evaluation is determined on the basis of living the unique spiritual life of the church age, or failure to do so. The evaluation is determined on the basis of living the unique spiritual life of the church age, or the failure to do so. Good catch. Three, the purpose of the evaluation is to determine whether you will receive these misthos, rewards and crowns, play race in full, or whether you lose out. So the purpose of the evaluation is to determine whether you're going to receive these play race misthos, full rewards, crowns and rewards at the judgment seat of Christ, or whether you're going to miss out and lose out on them. And that's our verse, 2 John verse 8. For receiving these crowns and rewards, receiving this play race misthos, is the result of living the spiritual life by the grace and the power of God. Spiritual life is a supernatural life, demands supernatural power for its execution. It can only be lived by the power of God the Holy Spirit and by the power of the Word of God in your heart that you've learned and believed. You have a maximum amount of metabolized doctrine in your heart. The Word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. So, receiving this play race misthos comes from living the unique spiritual life of the church age by the grace and the power of God. It's the result of you fulfilling the mandate of 2 Peter 3:18, the mandate to grow up spiritually, grow up in grace, grace orientation, grow up in knowledge, doctrinal orientation of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's a mandate. That's not an option for us. That's a command for us from God, a command from the mind of Christ. We have a new husband, the Lord Jesus Christ. And here is a mandate, his thinking. His thinking is right here in this command. Grow up spiritually in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Receiving this pleres misthos in full is the result of attaining spiritual maturity. It's the result of fulfilling the ultimate objective of the spiritual life. It's the result of having virtue, love brought to completion in your heart. And you'll be standing there before Jesus Christ with personal love for God the Father, the great impersonal love for all, and occupation with Jesus Christ, the one who is evaluating you. And he knew all about you in eternity past. He knew that you would be a winner believer in eternity past. And for you standing there, it doesn't get any better than that. That's the best. You're standing before the Lord and he says, "Well done, good and faithful servant." 5. Loss of your pleres misthos comes from making bad decisions. Bad decisions. You have been listening to false teachers. And a lot of these false teachers are in religion. Pastors. False teachers. Politicians. All kinds of people. You listen to them. You live out of fellowship with God. You live in Satan's cosmic system. You live in interlocking systems of arrogance and interlocking systems of hatred. And the result is you lose out on pleres misthos. It also means your greater grace blessings for eternity remain, they remain on deposit forever as a memorial to lost opportunity. And when you get to heaven, if you're there as a believer who has lost out from bad decisions, you haven't advanced to spiritual maturity, you've lived your life in reversionism, in Satan's cosmic system, God will have it. They'll have a special place. You get to go, and it'll be there with your name on it. I'm not going to. John Doe. Oh, if anybody here is named John Doe, I'm sorry. As far as I know, there's no John Doe's here. And you find your name. John Doe. Oh, wow. Oh, boy. The Lord really had some fantastic blessing for me. And you probably get a chance to say one word like shit, you know, something like that. Me, I know. Same thing. So it also means your greater grace blessing for eternity remain on deposit forever as a memorial to lost opportunity. 6. At the judgment seat of Christ, The issue is not your salvation. That's a done deal. You have eternal security. The issue is, did you live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills? Did you advance to maturity? Did you become a winner believer? That's the issue, not salvation. Did you live your life by the grace and power of God or the energy of the flesh? 7. The winner believer will be rewarded at the judgment seat of Christ with pleres misthos, full reward. The winner believer will be rewarded at the judgment seat of Christ with pleres misthos, full reward. 8. The cosmic believer will suffer temporary shame. At the judgment seat of Christ, he will have temporary shame, and he will lose out on his pleres misthos. But he will never lose his salvation. The cosmic believer will suffer temporary shame, and he will lose out on his pleres misthos, full reward, crowns and reward, but he will never lose his salvation. 9. One thing is obvious. Because of the judgment seat of Christ, there is no equality in heaven. No equality in heaven among believers. Since God is perfect, the inequality is a perfect inequality. This inequality is not discrimination. It's not unfairness. Inequality exists in heaven because of lost opportunity under the equal privilege and equal opportunity every believer has to live the unique spiritual life of the church age. Inequality exists in heaven because of lost opportunity. Under the equal privilege, we all have the same equal privilege and equal opportunity. We all have the same equal opportunity. Every one of us, every believer, we all have this to live the unique spiritual life of the church age. Ten, inequality in the eternal state means you neglected your equal privilege and equal opportunity to make good decisions to live the spiritual life. Inequality in the eternal state means you neglected your equal privilege and equal opportunity that God so graciously gave to all of us in time to make good decisions to live the spiritual life. Well, this is just getting started on this. It's a great doctrine, truth in the Word of God. And what a powerful passage, what a neat passage. 2 John 7, verses 7 and 8 present this. We'll pick it up here. You got 10 points. Okie dokie. Well, 10. This is just point one, too. These are 10 subpoints. Well, we're going to have 18 subpoints under point one. We're barely getting started. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.